Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greetings this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is her sixth month, for she who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels left them and gone unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, for the Lord has made known to us."
Our gospel reading this evening is from the first chapter of John. This is also a very familiar reading, but I'd like to point out before we begin, remember that this is a reflection of the first century church. Now, we have developed in the last 2,000 years a really complex theology about who Jesus is and how we're supposed to live and what it all means. And in the first century, they put it very simply and I think very powerfully. And I think the message is pretty neat. This from the first chapter of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Millions of texts have been written about this particular passage, all of them exploring what indeed is meant by this gospel. But in all the theologies that we have and all the things that have been discussed, something gets lost in the translation to us. Most of us miss the most important part of this, the part that isn't so obvious, but the part I believe that really needs to be underscored, not only on a day like today when we celebrate birth, but every day of our lives, which is why I come to church. It reminds me of this. What this gospel is saying, very simply, and I've said this before, some of you know this, but I think it needs repeating. With the coming of Jesus as part of the human race, a bond was formed between the divine and the human that is unbreakable, undeserved, unearned, and completely free. Let me repeat that. With the coming of Jesus into the human family, a bond between the divine and the human was formed in an unbreakable relationship. That means, if I can draw a line under that and very simply state it, that you and I are God and man and woman. We are human and divine. Now, when's the last time you ever thought of that? Has anybody ever said that to you before? Says right here, he became flesh and he became the sign of truth, empowering all to become children of God, and it was for all the nations. First century church. What that means, brothers and sisters, is very simply this. Where most of us spend a lot of time, well, I can't say that. A lot of us have spent a lot of our time probably growing up in the church. Anybody go to CE or religious education? Get the stuff after school programs? Learn about God? Those of you who took part in church, did you learn about God in church? Did what you learn help you understand that you are part of the divine presence in the world? Most of what I learned taught me that my humanity was a problem. I always wondered why I was born into the human family, because we were born into sin. Did you ask for it? Which one of us asked to be born into sin? But that's what we were taught. We were born into sin, and we should spend our whole lives doing everything possible to make sure that somehow, before the end of time, whatever our life would be, that we would have pleased God enough that we would not go to hell. We pray like crazy, maybe we'd make it into purgatory, but at least not hell. And somehow God would be pleased with us. And I don't know about you, but in all my years of trying to do that, play that race, never once occurred to me that the other part of the gospel is true as well. And that is what Jesus came to reveal. What did Jesus say? The two greatest commandments that supersede all the law and all the prophets: to learn to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Simple. As a kid, I thought that's a breeze. It's easy to love people. Until you grow up and realize there's a lot of people out there that don't like you. And so we struggle with that. And I've listened to people in 48 years of ministry struggle with that. Everybody in his or her own place, in their relationships, in their marriages, with their children, with their parents, with the aging, with the dying, with the illnesses and the poverty. I've listened to people struggle with where in God's name is God, if there is a God, when all this stuff is going on. Because you see, when you're born into a dichotomous world, that is a world where there is good and evil, and you start off as evil, you can't help but have a complex about who you are and where you are and what life means with all of its variations. And so theologians and people like me come up with all these explanations and try to keep everybody calm and keep everybody on a straight and narrow. And then the world throws things at us like abortion and birth control and just wars and national disasters and genocides happening right under our noses. And how do we approach today or a celebration of a God who chose to be a part of us to ensure us that we knew we were a part of God? One thing's for sure, we can't do it alone. But if you begin, brothers and sisters, with that very simple premise, and I offer it to you as, I think, hope. To me, this is a message of hope. In a world that is filled with wars, in a political scene that is filled with anger and disgusting things, in a world where our youth are being kind of trampled on by people who make money doing great things and producing great products, and our kids are going crazy for all of these things and losing their souls in the process. In a world that has moved away from the possibility that civility is rooted in honesty and integrity and an ability to be vulnerable to other people. We've lost God's passion in our world. But tonight, as we celebrate this birth, I said to the music people as we prayed before we came out to worship, tonight we are celebrating our own birth. Because tonight we celebrate the fact that we are born in God. And being born in God is something nobody can take away from us. Being born in God means that there are possibilities that we can only aspire to and dream of. But in reality, if we develop the eyes to see and a sensitivity of heart to feel and hear, God indeed does work very much in strange ways in our lives. If you don't want to call it God, just call it the Holy. Something bigger than ourselves. Something that calls us to a place of response to the goodness that there is possible in the world that you and I make every day. No one of us can change the world, but we can certainly touch the world that we do live in a way that might just spread a little bit of hope, give a little bit of courage, spread a little bit of love, and maybe find some delight in the process. Tonight, brothers and sisters, I believe is a call an invitation to every one of us. We can leave here and go off back to our lives and start doing what we always did. And this night will pass like every other Christmas, and next year we'll find ourselves doing the same thing, maybe even coming back, especially if you know I'm not going to be here. No. Maybe even coming back to church. The truth. We were created as extensions of the experience of God. If you can understand Jesus being worshiped because of how he reflected God's presence, brothers and sisters, we are all called to the very same thing. In Jesus becoming human, we become the Jesus. And like Jesus, we can reflect the goodness of God just as he did. Maybe not doing miracles and walking on water, but listening to somebody who's brokenhearted, reaching out to somebody who's in great need, giving an arm for someone to hold on to in a tragedy, helping somebody in the parking lot, caring for a little boy. That's how we make God real. And we do everything we can not to hate, not to judge, not to in any way indict people, and certainly not condemn people for whatever they believe or however they choose to live their lives. We are not the only ones who are created in God. All people are created in God. It is we who have to figure out how we live with the differences. He came for people of all the nations. I pray that this Christmas season is the best you ever had. I pray that being here tonight gives you an encouragement, perhaps, to look again to respect yourself and your humanity. And decide that your humanity makes a big difference in people understanding who God really is. Go and be the Christ in the world you touch. Amen.